Hello, everyone. I might have been a minute or two late because guess what? I was planning my week. That's what we're going to start talking about first while everyone comes in. So, happy Sunday. Look at my new whiteboard. I'm so proud of this thing. I am no more little bitty thing that I have to look around. So, I've got the big whiteboard going, so I'm ready to do models and all kinds of things. But first, before we get started, Corinne has reframed this call. Unfortunately, she didn't do the first one. It's me. But she's reframed this call to go over just a little bit of weekly planning first. So we're going to do that first. I'm not going to talk very long about that, but I will give you my process, and maybe that will give you some perspective or give you some ideas on how you can update your process. A few housekeeping things. If you want to be coached today, I'll probably coach 5 or 6 people. We're going for an hour and a half. Go ahead and raise your hand. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, you can do so in the chat. Make sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees. If you have a question for me about anything I go over with planning or anything else, you can pop that into the Q&A and I'll do those at the end of the call. Sound good? All right, let's get started. So, planning for me is something I do every week. My process is on Friday night, I sit down with my husband and I say, what are we going to get at the grocery store for next week? And so we start talking about it. I involve him in the process. It's very important for me to do that because I fix things that he likes. I fix things that I like. If he wants, let's say Ken wants Italian sausage. I don't like Italian sausage. So make that for him. Make something else for me. Many weeks we eat the same thing, but we start the conversation around Friday night. Then Saturday morning, I do my grocery list based on what we've put together for Saturday night. So I'm going to show you one of the tools I use. This is the What to Eat pad. I believe Corinne has it in her, I think it's an Amazon store now. Not real sure, but if you go to My Favorite Things, I think you can buy one of these. I get it from Amazon. It costs, you can see it's, well, it probably tells me how many pages. I don't know. It's a bunch of pages. This one is brand new. Probably $7 or $8. But it's really easy because, really easy for us to use because it has the magnet on the back. And I put it right on the refrigerator. So Ken always knows what's going on for dinner. Most of the time what I put in here first is what is going on in the evenings. So if I have an evening call, you can see here, Betsy's coming to town and she's staying with me for a couple of nights. So I put that in first because I work our plan around life. So if I have an evening call, let's say I have office hours, I know I'm probably not going to cook much dinner that night. So I need to have something ready that's easy to heat up. So in this case, we picked chili for Sunday night, taco bowls for Monday night, and then while Betsy is here, I have taco soup and barbecue baked potatoes and salad bar in the fridge. So the taco soup, I just finished. I did it in my Crock-Pot Instapot combo. The barbecue baked potatoes, all I have to do is bake the potatoes. I go buy the barbecue. We put them together when we're ready for them. And of course, the salad bar in the fridge. Super simple. We will do that, y'all, for lunch and for dinner. Actually, what does this say? Monday and Tuesday, that's what I'm having for lunch. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'm going to be at Corinne's. So I'm hoping she feeds me. If she doesn't, I don't need lunch. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, we're just going to eat basically out of the taco soup and the barbecue baked potatoes for a few days. That makes it so easy. I don't mind leftovers. In fact, to me, some of the things that you make leftovers actually even taste better. Then Friday and Saturday, I have a note here that the girls are coming. Oh, well, you see my snacks over here. I have some Kind bars, some fruit, and some trail mix if I need a snack. So this weekend, my granddaughters are staying with me. So I did not put anything down here on Friday and Saturday because what I'll do on Thursday is make some more decisions about the weekend. That is so key to my process. if I know something big is coming on the weekend, and I know that, you know, my daughter-in-law might send food, or she might ask me to fix certain things or not certain things, she's probably not going to ask me the week before. So what I did when I transferred all this to my planner was I left these days open. And I can go back about Thursday this week when I have all the instructions from my daughter-in-law, and I can fill those in and I can run to the store. There's lots of girls in the tribe, y'all, who make a plan for Sunday through Thursday, and then on Thursday they make their weekend plan, and that's exactly what I'm doing this week. So on about Thursday, Ken and I will get together and we'll say, okay, the girls will be here Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. What do we want the bones of our plan to look like? And we'll take care of it. The beautiful thing, if I could share anything at all with all of you, the beautiful thing about creating a plan with your family is that you have buy-in already. Okay? If they have input, then they know that you've taken care of what they want as well. So that's what we do. Sometimes we have HelloFresh come in, have a little HelloFresh delivery. Most of the time not. I use a lot of their recipes though, because I did them for several months. We have our go-to meals here on Thursday. Betsy is actually going to go and spend the night with Corinne on Thursday. I have spaghetti, which is one of our favorites. And then you see Friday night's open, Saturday night's open, Sunday night's open. I will fill these in later on in this week. My positive thought we'll practice this week is I have plenty of time, because one other thing I do on Sundays is I plan out my work week for the week. So I have all my private coaching calls. I have my admin time, you know, the work that I do behind the scenes for you guys. I have my Facebook time. I have my, my calls, like I do the Q&A on Thursday. So I have all this already in my calendar so that I know how it all fits in with my meals, how it fits in with my exceptions. I plan everything at one time. Okay. So my positive thought I'm practicing this week is I have plenty of time, because I do. I get to choose how I use that time. Weight loss goal for this week is 1 pound. Special occasion, having the girls this weekend. My self-care this week, I planned my exercise too. See, that's all the exercise that we're going to do. Ken and I talked about that this morning, got that figured out. So we have yoga, upper body, core, lower body, yoga, and a walk. Ken has plantar fasciitis, y'all. So as much as I love to walk, we're going to have to keep it inside and do some strength work for a few weeks, and that's fine. Then my 1% level up this week is that I am going to be super aware and watching for my +2. Raise your hand. You don't have to. If you have small children and you're easily distracted at mealtimes. So I'm going to have to really tune in to my +2 and watch potential overeating opportunities this weekend just at mealtime, because there's two of me and Ken. There's three girls, 5 and under. So that's my overview on how I plan. I hope it's helpful. I'm big on the planning, because when I plan, I know this is what we're going to do. I have an accountability partner downstairs. I'll ask him sometimes. I'll say, you know, Ken, do you want to do like Taco Bells for dinner tonight and swap the chili? And he will look at this and he'll point to it and he'll say, the plan says chili. So he keeps me straight. I don't waver. And I know what I've planned is realistic for me. I know that I like this food, and this is it. It's just decision made. So, all right. Debbie says she's having a freezing issue. I'm hoping that's just you, Debbie. If it is, you can go out and come back in. Otherwise, you guys can let me know if I'm doing any freezing up. Okay. That's it on the planning. If there are any questions about my process, I'm happy to answer them. I will tell you, most of the days, like when I make taco soup or something, I have containers downstairs. I'll actually put it in bowl size containers. This week, since we'll be eating out of it for several meals and Betsy will be here and all that, I decided just to put it in one container and put it in the fridge. All right. So let's coach. Okay. Let's see who we've got here. With their hands raised. Hope, you are first. There you are.
It took me a minute.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
There we go.
What's up?
Oh, well, I would like to be coached on something that I think many are coached on because I've been listening to all of the replays of coaching on work.
Okay.
So I feel as if I have done years and years of self-help to include, listening to people like Byron Katie who do Is It True? And, very similar to the model. Mm-hmm. For the most part, I am very good at being able to keep my brain in check and squish the negative thoughts and things like that. And I think that's one reason that this program is working so very well for me.
Mm-hmm.
Based in thought work. So I think it's important to say that only because I am very much struggling with a thought, and I've had it for, I'm going to say 3 years, but it may be more, about really not enjoying my work, feeling very stuck where I am. And it just doesn't seem to go away. And this weekend, I have felt especially down about it. I have felt sick to my stomach. I have felt sad. I have cried. And I think that this is just something that for some reason, it's the one thing I don't seem to be able to get past.
Okay.
So I'm doing all the work and the thought work. I don't really know what to do next, or I do. I don't know. I feel really messed up about this.
Okay. So have you done models on work?
I do.
Tell me what your model is.
So a lot, many mornings. So I always journal in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I do, my 24-hour plan in my journal. And so, I probably could look at one, but many of the ones that I do in the morning, probably 75% are surrounded by work because I'm journaling before getting ready for work.
Okay.
So I always start with my circumstance. Mm-hmm. I work at and insert the place, which I won't say.
Okay.
And then my thought might be, I don't want to go.
Let's do this first. Let's try this. Tell me what your feeling is when you get up in the morning and it's time to get ready for work. What is the feeling?
Frustration, stuck. I don't know if stuck is a feeling. Frustration.
Are you frustrated before work or are you frustrated at work?
Both.
Let's change the C line. This is what I love about the model. We get to erase.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so getting ready for work. All right. And I'm still figuring out how much of this. Okay. That's not even very big. Can you see that?
I can see it. Yes.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Getting ready for work. It goes up. When you're getting ready for work this morning and you think about work, what are you feeling? Are you already frustrated?
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling dread? Are you mm-hmm. feeling scared? What is
no.
the primary feeling?
It might depend on the day. I do think dread would be a great word. I do think frustrated many days would be a great word.
Okay.
I need to look at feeling wheel.
All right. This is interesting because we might have two different models with dread.
I think I have a okay. lot of models around
okay.
this.
Why do you feel dread?
Because I feel stuck.
No. You don't feel something because of a feeling. You feel something because of a thought. So why do you feel dread?
Because
are you telling yourself, I am stuck in this job?
I am telling myself I'm stuck in this job.
Does that create dread or does that create frustration?
Both.
Are you telling yourself, I really don't want to go to work today? I can't, I have so much crap ahead of me at work that I really don't want to do. Are you telling yourself anything like that?
Not really. Okay. I think the feelings aren't so much, I'm really good at what I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a stressful job.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not challenging enough. So no to that answer.
Okay. Well, tell me about the job.
So I am called what's a quality improvement and staff development manager.
Okay.
But I have been in that role for 12, 13 years, maybe more. I have went back to school to get my doctoral degree, which took me 5 years. I publish, I speak nationally, and I continue to do things above and beyond what really anyone that I work with does in order to be promotable. And I am not promotable. I have not been promotable to date, despite a lot.
What does promotable mean?
Able to get a different job, whether in that health system or whether it be somewhere else.
Why are you not promotable?
I think that there's a lot of reasons. I think that one is that I don't manage people. I manage process and programs. So usually when you get into like a director VP level, which is where I would be next, people want to see hire and fire and performance appraisals of people. And I don't have that. And I, in order to get that, I would almost have to step down. I would need to get a job that paid less than I have now. I've also tried to go into academia, which is a totally different way for me. And every time I get beat out by people who are already in academia full time.
This is your poison thought. This is the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not promotable. Do you recognize that as a thought?
Yes.
Okay. Because you just told me all the ways you could get promoted, right? You could go back to academia. You could take a lesser paying job and get more experience managing people. You just told me two or three different things you could do to round out your skill set. Yet you tell yourself, I'm not promotable.
So I'm going to be a hard case right now. And I know I'm being poopy head. Like I'm a shithead about this, but I don't feel like I can go. I feel as if I cannot take a lesser paying job because I am the person that keeps us in this home. I don't feel like I can.
That's a choice.
It is a choice. I'd have to sell my house, but that's not happening either. I feel like it's
again a choice. No, it's not conflicting. It's this thought. You have not put your brain to work on how you can be promotable and stay in your house. You know, you've got all the degrees. You're stuck here. This is what's causing the frustration. Right?
So frustrated.
Right? I'm not promotable. I'm not going anywhere. I'm stuck. You said I'm stuck. I wanted to find out why you felt that way. And that was the thought, because you think you're not promotable. So when you're frustrated, how do you show up at work?
Well, this is the thought work I do prior to going. Right. Prior to going, I do the model.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to reframe, not this exact thought, but whatever thought I'm having,
mm-hmm.
so that I do show up putting my best foot forward and continuing to show my skill set in order to be promotable. So that is what I do.
But when you don't do it, let's finish this model.
Okay.
When you don't do it, this frustration, how do you show up? Are you snarky? Are you quiet? Are you not given 100%? Are you distracted? You
know what? Okay. All of those things.
All those things.
Yes.
All those things.
All the things.
Okay. I'm not going to write them all out. So what do you think that results in?
More being not promotable.
Right. Right. It proves the thought.
So what's your, horrible.
Yes. Here's the funny thing. Sometimes I do these models and I get down to these action lines and I know where that result's going. I'm like, no, I don't want that result. That's not the one I want. Right?
What a shit show in my head. And I mean, yes. I'm talking years of this shit show.
All because you tell yourself you're not promotable.
But right? I mean,
but that's the, do you know what a Jersey barrier is?
A what?
A Jersey barrier.
No.
You ever drive down the highway, you see those big concrete barriers during construction zones? That's a Jersey barrier.
Oh, like on the side?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is your Jersey barrier to advancing in your life, in your career, in your work, in your whatever, because you keep telling yourself that.
Okay. Okay. I buy this. I'm buying into this.
Yeah, okay. This is it. So your work is not to deflate this every day, not to say, okay, we're just not going to think this thought. We're going to think something else. Your work is to solve this either by accepting the job that you're in and being happy with it, or by opening your mind to things you can do to become promotable. Whether it's change jobs, ask for different work, you can go into your boss and say, look, my long-term goals are these. This is what I propose to get me there. Are you on board or do I need to come up with some more ideas? You know, all those things, okay? I could look at my place in PMP and say, I'm not promotable, right? And that would get me, for me, it probably wouldn't cause frustration. It would probably cause, I don't know, just a toilet diaper, just a, you know, self-doubt or whatever. Or I can go to Corinne and say, you know what? I have all these great ideas. I don't know if you're in the business of promoting me, but I'd like to be promoted. And here's why. And here's what I have to offer.
So I've done all those things. Not to be a jerk, but I have.
Okay.
I've been talking to my director for years about this problem, about getting people underneath me so that when he retires, I can, it's just not happening there. Okay. It is not happening there. I have interviewed I have been on 6 interviews over the past 3 years in which people have traveled me and put me up in hotels, and I have gotten to the VP president level, and then I'm like, where they're paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars for my travel and my food. And then it always is they took an internal candidate or they took someone who already had that experience. So I really do feel stuck.
Okay.
I actually stopped because it was interfering with my mental health so badly, that rejection and taking time off of work for these interviews and prepare. I mean, sometimes I had to prepare lessons and plans and presentations. Okay. And it was just like, eventually people around me were like, you have to stop. You have to stop looking for a new job. It's not good for you. So again, like, I know, like, I'm a hard case. I feel like I have every, like,
Do we need to model that thought? You've told me that one 4 or 5 times now too. I'm a hard case.
I feel like in this,
you're a hard case because you believe you're a hard case. I don't think you're a hard case at all. I think you're someone stuck in a model that's not working for her.
Okay. Yes.
Because you're saying I'm a hard case and I'm not promotable. That's all I think.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bring me through it again.
So which avenue, you know, you get to decide. We can do 2 intentional models. Of course, do you know about the thought ladder? You'll probably have to work.
I do know about the thought ladder. Yes. Okay. Yes, I totally
You'll
do.
You'll probably have to work your way into these, but I want to do one on the feeling of promotable, and I want to do one on the feeling of acceptance.
Of what?
Acceptance.
Yeah.
Be where you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, I wish I could get there more.
Okay. Let's do that one first then. So now we're in the current job. Is acceptance the pie in the sky feeling that you want about the current job, or do you want something else?
I really think that if I could just accept it, I mean, I could tell you 100 reasons it's an amazing job. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not trying not to use the F word because you don't use it.
I don't care. You can use it.
I'm really fucked up about this. This job is not a bad job. Like, I'm ridiculous. I think it's because I went back to school to be promotable and I spent all that time. And now I'm like, well, that was for nothing. I have so many thoughts.
That's so funny. Going to school doesn't make you promotable.
Apparently not.
I don't know. That could probably be argued. If it were a government job, going to school might be a race, you know, because of the structures and whatnot. If promotable is a feeling, then a thought creates it, right? But what you're doing with promotable is you're telling your boss to feel that you're promotable. Okay? So let me say that a different way. In our first model where you had frustration, you're showing up that way at work. Because you're not promotable. Promotable in this sense means you want someone else to promote you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do someone else's model? Do you have any control over anyone else's models?
But
you
don't
know, right? So what it's up to you to get that thought out of your head, the I'm not promotable, because if you're showing up as not being promotable, they're not going to, I mean, chances are they're not going to look at you and go, hey, we should really check on Hope because she's showing up frustrated and not doing all those things, right? But if you show up as acceptance and in your job, you know, feeling like you belong there, accepting the job as it is, that opens your brain up to looking at bigger, better options within the job or without the job, okay?
Yes.
So if you accepted the job as it currently was, how would you act? We're going to start. One beautiful thing I love about the model is you can start anywhere and you can fill in the different lines based on questions you ask yourself. Okay. I think it would be easier for us to go down and then come back up to the thought in this case. My thought. So I'm going to ask you if to feel like you accept the job you're currently in, if you felt that way, what would you be doing?
I would be showing up positive. I would be moving forward with new projects. I would be engaged. I would be excited. I would be kind. I would be happy.
Those are feelings. What would you be doing?
I would be working on new projects.
Okay. Would you be offering ideas?
Yes. I would be attending more meetings. I would be joining more committees.
Okay. If you did all these things, what do you think the result would be? It's not promotion.
No, it's not. It's not.
But what would it be?
Peace. Acceptance. Peace. Calm. Was that what we're looking for? The result?
Well, a result can be a feeling. It can also be, well, somebody says satisfying. That's interesting, right? Would this be a satisfying result to you? I think what it creates is hope shows up 100% at work.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can y'all see that? It's a little low. I can't believe it's too low, but that's funny. Okay. Now, if the result proves the thought, what do you think you have to think to feel acceptance and do these things.
I'm grateful for my job. I like my job.
Okay.
I think I need a ladder for that. I am willing to think I like my job.
Okay. I belong in this job. I'm good at this job.
That would be a good one. I belong in this job would be a good one.
Okay. So I belong.
I am really good at it. So I probably do.
Okay.
But it pisses me off.
Why does this thought piss you off?
I don't know. I think because I've gotten over the years, I've gotten myself in this shit show of thoughts. I really think this is just me. I've conditioned myself in a shit show. I conditioned myself to think I wanted a promotion. Maybe I don't. I mean,
well, you've just told me what a great job this is.
It's a great job. It has great flexibility.
Great flexibility. You don't have anybody working for you.
I don't have to manage
yourself.
It's a great job. And yeah, I think I've conditioned myself to believe I need to be promoted. I need to make more money. I deserve to be promoted. I went back to school. I've done all these things. And I just can't get to acceptance that maybe this is where I belong.
So this is where you write down all those things you just told me and ask yourself, is this true? Just because you're thinking those things doesn't make them true.
Right.
This thought might not be true. But until you test it out, until you work this model, until you do these action steps and see if this is the result it creates, then you're really not going to know if this thought is the right one. This is the beautiful thing about the model. If you do the action line, you're going to create the result. And if the thought is not believable yet, when you create that result and you show up 100% and you feel good about your job, guess what? The thought becomes believable. I belong here. This is what I'm supposed to do. Okay? But if doing these action steps doesn't create this result, you know your model is broken. Does that make sense?
It does. I guess what I'm thinking is, so should I be doing this every day?
Mm-hmm.
Should I be modeling, thought downloading and modeling all those thoughts every day until it starts working for me?
Here's what I would do. When you thought download and you come up with all those 8 or 10 thoughts that lead to frustration, I went to school to be better than this, I'm not promotable, they don't believe in me, whatever it is, I would question every one of those thoughts and ask yourself, is that really true? And is that what I really want to believe about my job, about myself? And if it's not true, and if it's not what you want to believe, then I would practice an answer to that thought. Okay. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes sense. It makes me a little sad that I'm going to have to work on this so hard.
I think you will reap amazing rewards if you do work on this, because you'll figure out if this thought is true. I belong in this job.
And I probably do need to figure that out.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And then if you figure out this is true, guess what? You've got a model, right? This is life. If you figure out this isn't true, that there's something about that job maybe that you're hiding from yourself that you don't really want. Sorry. The result is hope shows up 100%, y'all. Sorry. I'm practicing here with my board. But if you figure out that this isn't what you want, then you just get back on the bandwagon and you start interviewing again.
Right.
I mean, just because you've had some no's doesn't mean there's not another job out there.
The truth, sometimes I think I sabotage interviews on purpose because I'm not sure if I do or do not belong in that job. I mean, it's a shit show in my head. It really is.
Stop saying that. I'm going to make a list of things that you should stop saying.
So I do feel like, though, I'm so together except for this. But I do just want to tell for the girls, a lot of sweet comments, and for the girls here, I also, just for everyone to know, I did start the Mastering Drinking program. and I don't drink at home alone, but I do drink socially a freaking ton. Mm-hmm. And so I started it, and you can't drink unless you plan 24 hours ahead, which means when I have all these shit feelings that I'm having right now, I can't just be like, oh, let me go down to my friend's house and have some wine and bitch about my fucking job. And I'm not kidding. Like, this has been a hard weekend for me. Mm-hmm. So like, cause you know, I'm not eating my feelings anymore at all. Mm-hmm. It's actually been quite easy because this makes so much sense. But
yep.
I think maybe the not being able to drink my feelings has really made this difficult. Like where I was like, I need to get on a call. Like I have been sick and sad all weekend. Damn it. I just want some wine to take it away.
This is what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to sit with the discomfort. You have to sit with it.
Yep.
And maybe that's what I need to do because it's like I said, this has been going on years. I probably need, this is what I need, but it does not feel good.
Yep. So this is her model. And this is what happens when you take away the buffer, whether it's food, whether it's drinking, whether it's shopping, spending money.
I've wanted this to stop.
Insert your pain point. Mm-hmm. I'm not drinking my feelings.
I'm trying not to shop my feelings or eat my feelings.
Right. Aware. Sit with discomfort and you're feeling it all. You're feeling every single one of the feelings. That's what makes it feel hard because this buffer that you've had of drinking for all this time, you've taken away. Mm-hmm. So kudos to you.
So much going on over here.
Mm-hmm. You're feeling it all. You're thinking it all. You're hearing the thoughts. Look, erase the R line up so everybody can read it. But that's what's happening, right? This is a great opportunity for, with an open mind, not clouded by the wine or the food or the shopping, to really examine that thought, whether or not you belong there, whether or not you want to belong there. Because that's the other thing about the thought. I belong in this job can be the thought that you choose.
Right.
It doesn't have to be the C line. It can be the thought that you choose.
Yes. Okay. All right. I'm going to work it a lot.
Good. You're welcome. Does that help? Does all that
help? I mean, I think that it helps in the fact that I needed someone to kick my ass and tell me what I needed to do. And what I need to do is this, and I need to do it every day. And I need to do it until I figure it out without drinking with friends or eating or.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, let's review. What are the two thoughts you're going to stop telling yourself?
I'm a shit show.
That's one. What's the other one?
There's more than one, right?
Yep.
I am not promotable.
Right.
Were those the two or there more?
Those were the two biggies. I'm a hard case was another one.
I'm a hard case.
Yeah. You throw those at me like they're the C line. I really want you to see that those are thoughts that you've decided are true.
Yeah, I'm a shit show.
Just kidding. Girl, we all have our shit show opportunities.
Okay. And I have really wanted more than anything to eat this weekend because of all of this. Eat or drink, and I usually don't have that feeling at all. So it's the first time I've really felt a connection between feelings and eating. And I haven't done it, but God, is it hard? There's no relief. I've slept a lot because I'm just like, please shut it down. I sleep, which that's not good either. That's like depression, you know.
Here's what I suggest you do with that. In fact, I'll tell everybody on November 14th, Corinne is doing a call on recovery worksheets, and she's going to teach everyone on that call how to sit with an urge. And not fight it. What you're doing is like, I'm going to bed. I got to get out of here. The urge is terrible. It's horrible. That's fighting the urge. It's resisting it. It's white knuckling. It feels really, really hard. On the 14th, is it 14th? Is that the Thursday? Yeah. She's going to do this recovery worksheet lab, and she's going to show you all how to sit with urges. and allow them to be there. And one of the keys to that that I want you to start practicing is I want you to think about how the urge feels physically. You know, are your muscles all tensed up? Are you gritting your teeth? Is your stomach upset? Is your head hurting? Is your heart pounding? If you think of an urge as a feeling that comes on, like, I don't know, happiness, and then you move on to the next feeling, then that's allowing the urge. So as you go through the weekend and you have the urge to eat or the urge to drink or the urge to tell yourself you're not promotable, think about how that feels in your body and think about how, you know, feelings come and go. Okay?
Yes. I will do all the things.
Do all the things.
Well, thank you. And thank you for everyone who watched right. and didn't want to just jump off the call off a bridge.
I'll see you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye. Saba, you are next. And then Kate. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Thanks very much.
I'm going to try and turn up your volume a little bit. Okay. Did I say your name correctly?
Yes, Saba.
Awesome. Good. So what's up? What do you want coaching on?
Basically, I am having a little bit of trouble. I started in September and I'm down 6 pounds, which I'm really pleased about.
Mm-hmm.
I've been suffering from joint pains and back pain and sciatica for a long time, mm-hmm. which is why I want to start this program as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that every time I try and sort of level up in terms of cutting back any of the sort of junk food that's on my plan or anything, I just overeat rather on those things. And I've tried looking at the no flour, no sugar videos, and I just watched one, and I just basically that day I started thinking, I can't do this. This is too much hard work.
Mm-hmm.
I've done sort of plans like that in the past where I've just then regained the weight back because I've done high protein, low carb mm-hmm. diet, mm-hmm. and sort of scares me. And the thought in my mind is, I don't want to be ill. I don't want to do a specialist diet. I won't be able to do it. So
okay.
I just keep overeating every time I have that sort of, okay, I'm ready to level up. I'm ready mm-hmm. to do something better for my body. And I just feel...
All right. Let me say two things first. The first is, just losing weight is going to help your joint pain. You don't have to level all the way into no sugar, no flour. All right. This is... I'm raising my hand because that's what I did. The first 70 pounds I lost, I took, I think they say 4 pounds of pressure for every pound of weight on your knees. So if I took 70 pounds off, I took off 280 pounds worth of pressure, you know, the walking pressure, running pressure on my knees. So just losing the weight on its own is going to help your pain, your sciatica, your posture, your knees, your joints, your everything. Okay.
Okay.
No sugar, no flour is something that people who have nailed all the basics mm-hmm. can try if they want to. They don't have to. Okay.
Okay.
So tell me, you said when you level up, that leads to overeats. I want to know which of the basics you have nailed and you are 100% good on.
I can't say I'm 100% good at anything at the moment, to be honest.
Okay. All right. So tell me about, let's go through them. Tell me about your sleep.
I sleep very late, and it's been a long-standing habit of mine because my husband works late, and I've just got into this habit of sleeping late, sometimes staying up for him, just or either just seeing this is my time and I go on the computer and I'll just mm-hmm. do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't sleep very well, to be honest.
Okay. So are you getting 7 hours?
I am still getting 7 hours because I'm working from home.
Okay.
And it's almost like an excuse. In the morning, my pain is the worst. So mm-hmm. I say to myself, I can't really get up. And mm-hmm. I physically can't as well sometimes. And the more I lie in, then it gives me a chance for things to settle down and I can get up and get going with my work day. But I do get my 7 hours, but probably not at the right time.
I don't think there's a right or wrong time to get your sleep. If you're getting 7 continuous hours of sleep, I don't think it matters what time of day you're getting them. Okay?
Okay.
What about your water? Are you drinking your water?
I am drinking the water. When I started off at PNP, I was not drinking any water. I would say like maybe a small glass in a day. And I have really got good at that. I'll have maybe the occasional day where I'm not so good. Usually when I've gone off plan for some reason. And then I'll say, no, right, this is, I need to be really good at this, you know. So I am getting quite good at that, I would say. I would say about maybe 90% of the time I am doing my water.
Okay. How about planning? Are you doing your plan every day?
Yeah, I am doing my plan. I'm good with my plan and I'm review it with my accountability partner. So I
okay, good. So you plan and assess every day?
Yes.
How often do you think you are off plan?
At least 2 days a week.
Okay. So 2 days a week off plan. All right. What about your hunger scale?
Hunger scale, I'm still working on. I'm focusing more on the -2 now.
Okay.
Because I found that I was eating on the clock, basically, when it's time for breakfast, when it's time for lunch, even though I've always got into this habit of eating a late breakfast. But then it seems like when I start eating, then I say, okay, lunchtime now, dinner time now, snack time now, and I'll do that. But over the last 2 weeks, I've noticed that I don't really need 3 meals or even a snack.
Mm-hmm.
And snacks are the stuff that is not really good, I say, for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like I put down a small chocolate bar or some nuts or, you know, things or juice or something like that, right, that I call not such great choices. And I feel sort of resistant to the thing of only needing 2 meals. But I am getting better at recognizing that. And
okay, so you're resistant to that because you want to eat more. I mean, that's all of us. It's like, really? I want to be hungry.
Yes.
That's all of us. That's just recognizing that and just flipping that thought over to, you know, do I really want to eat by the clock or do I really want to lose weight? You know, it's almost that, what Corinne uses the term binary, which I love. It's like the either or, right? You just get to decide whether it's eat or lose weight, you know, eat, you know, when you're not hungry or lose weight. So I think really good for you is practicing that -2. I want you to nail these basics before you level up your plan. Okay. So I want you planning very realistically.
Okay.
I want you to put a snack on the plan just in case, because then if you eat it, you've eaten, you're still on plan. Okay. That's the whole genesis of the realistic plan. We want you guys to make a plan that you'll commit to that you can stay on. Okay. Then when you've nailed the plan, when you've nailed the hunger scale, you can evaluate your week to decide if your weight loss is where you want it to be. If you're maintaining, you know that you're probably not hitting your +2. If you're gaining weight, you know your both ends of your hunger scale might be out of whack. But if you're losing weight, you might just look and see if there's a 1% level up. And y'all, a 1% level up is not taking a whole food group out of your diet. All right? It might be one day a week having 3 crackers instead of 4 for your snack. Okay, it's a little teeny tiny change that doesn't eliminate a food or doesn't cause any deprivation. It's a little teeny tiny change that you can get used to so that you can make another little teeny tiny change.
Okay,
so if you were, when you leveled up, if you were saying, I'm not going to have cheese and crackers for snack anymore, I'm going to have broccoli, I wouldn't call that a 1% level up.
Well, what I tried was I discussed it with my accountability partner and he says, okay, maybe you can do like every other day you have your sweet treat and do that. But that just a thought of, you're taking away something that I love. just set me off to eat more of that on the day that I was allowed. And I was rebelling, I think.
You're taking away something I love. I just want everyone to see this model. Okay. The feeling is deprived, right?
Yeah.
The action is rebel and eat. And the result is take away the opportunity to lose weight. Right? Do you understand the model? Do you know the model?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So you have this thought, you just said it, that creates that feeling. When you feel that, you eat it anyway, and you remove your opportunity to lose weight. Okay?
Yeah.
What could you think instead? What if your level up? Let's define your level up. This will be fun. I love the model. I feel like a little kid. I have a big whiteboard and a model. Tell me, since we've talked about how you're going to work on your hunger scale this week, right? Tell me how we can phrase that as your level up for your sea line. Level up. Work on eating at -2. That's your sea line. Okay? So we'll have a thought, a feeling, action, and result. Where do you want to start?
Start with a feeling.
Okay. So what's the feeling? Intentional feeling. This is the one we want to generate. Okay. What's the feeling?
Positive.
Okay. Talk some more. See if we can refine it. Controlled, aware. Yeah.
Feel in charge, basically.
Empowered. In charge? Do you like it? Which one do you like? Controlled? Empowered. Any of them?
Empowered is good.
Okay. All right. When you feel empowered because you're eating, you're really watching for your -2, and you feel empowered because of that, what are you doing on the action line?
I'm basically waiting for my -2. Mm-hmm. Waiting. Mm-hmm. Or I'm drinking water.
Yeah. I would offer that you should journal some, because you want to journal this feeling of empowered. You also want to journal because your brain is going to be going, but we should eat. It's 12. But we should eat. We used to eat. Why aren't we eating? You know, your brain is going to be talking to you. So I would offer that you journal about it. Okay. Anything else?
That's what I generally do. Drink water.
Okay. When you do these things, while you're looking for your -2, what result do you think you create?
I'm actually helping myself to get to where I want to go.
Yeah. You're increasing your awareness about yourself and your -2. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So, what thought do you think supports this model?
I'm working at it.
Yeah, I'm figuring this out, right?
Yeah.
I'm working at it. I'm figuring this out. Here's the beautiful thing. When you say I'm working at it, you're giving yourself an opportunity to make a mistake. And that's okay. That's where you do your recovery worksheet and you learn about it. That's where you do your journaling. Right?
I don't know why that thought and working at it makes me sort of emotional and upset as well, because I keep, in my mind, I keep making mistakes, and why am I not learning this? And why am I not learning it quick enough?
Okay. So what if I tell you you're always going to make mistakes and you're always going to learn? Every pound you lose, every 10 pounds, 15 pounds, your hunger scale is going to change. You're going to have to figure it out again. You're going to sit in maintenance like me. You're going to get older. Your hormones are going to change. You're going to have to figure it out again. What if it's okay that you don't learn it perfectly today? That you are aware that you're working at it every day, and that's okay. Because that's what it is. When you were gaining weight, you weren't working at anything except eating, right? That was me. I was unaware, didn't care, just eating. But when I decided I was going to improve my life, I work on it every day. I just showed y'all how I plan this week. I'm at goal weight. I'm in maintenance. I still plan in two different documents every week. I still do my journaling every day. I don't have my, oh, here's my journal. It says be happy on it. I still do my planner every day. I'm still working at it. I'm still aware that my hunger scale can change from day to day. Okay? So every overeat, every off-plan eat for me is an opportunity to figure out something else, something new. Every level up is a challenge to figure out something new. So this, I'm working at it. This is a thought that makes me feel good because I know I'm still engaged in the process. I know I'm still taking care of me. Where your brain is going is, I'll never get this. I can't figure this out. Right? What I offer you is, as long as you're still working at it, you are figuring it out.
Yeah, I do feel pleased because I never, for a long time, I haven't stuck to anything. Mm-hmm. And despite making mistakes, tons of mistakes, I keep going back to it and say, okay, I'll do something else. I'll keep trying. I'll work on that.
Yeah. I have a couple of thoughts I'll offer you just because they're my two favorites. I'm sitting here looking at them because I have them on sticky notes hanging from my computer because I think about them every day. The first one is, I can do hard things on purpose. I bet you can too, right? And not every day will this be minus two be hard, but some days it will be. Some days it will feel hard, but you can do them on purpose. And sometimes the hard thing comes in picking yourself back up and making the next good food decision after you've gone off plan.
Yeah.
Okay? But you can do that. You can make that commitment to yourself. You can be this empowered person who stays in this model and is still working on doing it. Okay? The other thought I love is, I refuse to complicate this. My brain goes like crazy town all the time. It's whirling and spinning and thinking and overthinking and catastrophizing and all that kind of stuff. So if you boil it down to a simple thought like, I'm working at it, I'm okay with this, it's okay that I make a mistake, I can do hard things, then all of those can lead you to empowered. And all of those can lead you to waiting for minus two, drinking your water, journaling. And then you gain your awareness. And you learn more about yourself because you're working at it.
Keep working at it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you look at it from the perspective of every day, I get to learn something new about myself. I get to experience some kind of growth every single day. It doesn't feel as hard. To me, that doesn't feel as hard. It doesn't feel like I'll never get this because I'll never understand it all. It's okay that I won't understand it all today, because tomorrow I'll learn something new And that might open a door up for me to learn something else.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Does that help?
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll work on that.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you for your time.
Everybody wants to know where you are from.
Scotland.
Scotland. So are you in Scotland right now?
Yes, I live here.
You live here. There, I know of at least two other tribe members in Scotland.
Right.
Did you know that? Yes.
No.
So if you think about it, post in the tribe and tag me if you want to meet these ladies. And okay. I will tag them.
Okay,
and let them know that there's a third Scottish person. Okay?
Nice. Small world.
It really is. It really is.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, all right. Fun. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Kate and Melissa. Uh-oh. I think I forgot to click something. Here you come.
Oh, and then I turned it off.
Are you coming back?
I'm trying.
Okay.
Is the video not working? It says.
Well, it looks like you might have something over your camera because it's all black.
No, it worked a second ago. Let me see. I'm having computer issues today, of course. The wheel is spinning. It's thinking.
Okay. I'm going to answer this question real quick while you're figuring out your camera. Lauren, Monday night used to be at 6. I see tomorrow's at 5. Is that a new time going forward? Yes. In fact, all call times in the evenings are now 5 p.m. Central Time. We're trying that out with the time change and with some other things that are going on. So office hours on Wednesday will also be at 5 p.m. Central. There is, this week, there is a Zoom Q&A. On handling the holidays and whatever else you have questions on at 5 p.m. Central. So all the calls through the week are going to be 5 p.m. Central, and except the Sunday call. So yes, Lauren, thanks for pointing that out so that we could reiterate that. All right, Kate, I still can't see you. And it says your camera is working. Are you still there? Okay, I can't hear you now either. So I'm going to change you to an attendee. I want you to raise your hand again, okay? We'll see if we can restart this whole process. I don't know where you went, Kate. All right, while Kate's figuring it out, Melissa, let's take you. My goodness, Zoom is not doing a great job reacting to me. All right, Melissa, I don't know what happened to you. Here's Kate back again. Let's try Kate again. Oh, there you are. Awesome.
Yay.
All right. We have a big empty box there too, but that's okay. All right.
I'm finally on, and now I'm on twice.
That's right.
Screen and me.
Look, I'm back to Sabah. I'm willing to make a mistake and get this figured out. We'll just go with three boxes and it's all right.
There we go.
So what's up?
Back to Sabah. I think a lot of what you guys talked about is probably what I am needing to hear and work on, because I've actually joined since January.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time I've actually been coached, which I think is kind of ridiculous because obviously it's a great resource and I need to do it. Mm-hmm. And so part of my motivation for reaching out to be coached today was I have been tracking numbers and figuring out sort of where my downfall is since January. And I have all the, you know, percentages of how many plans I've done and assessments and then tracking weight. And I looked at the end of January where I was. Did I lose you?
Okay. You look, yes, but you're back. Okay. You looked at the end of January?
Yeah. At my weight at the end of January. And I'm almost right back to it. I think I'm above it. And so I have gone up and down throughout this whole year and I've learned a lot. I mean, I moved to a new house and it was very stressful and I was using that as an excuse for several months. In July when we did the Gift of Fat, I figured it out. I got back on, I lost 4 pounds. I was feeling really good. And then, so I'm just sort of up and down.
So what happens when you go off plan? What's going on? When you have one of these periods where you're not doing the plan and you're not doing the things, what's going on?
Well, I'm really good at doing plans. It's just following them. I'm really bad at following them.
So what's going on when you're not following plans?
Well, so July was great. And then August I went on a family trip. And so the vacation, you get out of routine, you sort of get in a rut. And so I use that as an excuse. And then, I had a wedding this month, so I was away for a weekend and I don't know if it's spending time. You know what it is? Both trips are with my husband's family and they like to eat and drink a lot and they're all very thin. And so I think part of it is they can eat and drink a lot. Why can't I? And so it's that I get into that restrictive, when I did really well in January, February, March, I know I was being restrictive. Because I, come from the Weight Watchers mentality. So I was, making realistic plans that were restrictive. And so now that I try to work on more realistic plans, and I try to, make them more of a reality that I will follow them, they're not as good, in quotes, because they have things like a sweet treat after lunch or a sweet treat after dinner.
All right.
I feel like I'm kind of all over the place.
No. I think I see what's going on here. So the wedding and the trip happened. Did you get right back on plan after that?
I got right back on plan. But I would say that I'm still just not good at following the plans.
Okay. So why aren't you good at following plans?
Because I am toying with whether or not the restrictive feelings of, at work, if someone brings a cake, because we're always celebrating someone's birthday, I always forget, on Wednesdays we celebrate birthdays, and then I want to eat it. And so then I eat off plan, but I eat a small piece. So I think it's okay. Cause it's just a little bit off plan, not a big.
Yeah. There's a whole lesson on big and little quits in No BS that talks about how the little pieces off plan add up to big quits, obviously. But it sounds to me like you're not terribly committed to these plans that you're writing.
Sure.
So why not? And don't use the word restrictive again.
Oh, darn. Because that was the first thing.
Because that's what you're blaming.
Yeah.
That's why you're not taking ownership for your plan. You're going, oh, look, I've got a great plan here, but it's restrictive. I'm going to have some cake. this restrictive diet mentality of mine, not working out. So this plan's not good. That's what's happening. Okay. You go on vacation, you go out to these weddings, you see the way everybody else eats, you get a little jealous because you have some preconceived notion that they probably eat like that all the time and they get to stay thin.
Well, my husband does and he's skinny as a rail.
See, none of that matters.
Right.
right? What matters is what you need to eat mm-hmm. and how your body reacts. Okay? So you're creating these pie in the sky plans and you're not following them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're giving yourself excuses to eat off plan, right? If you did one of these every week, do you do one of these every week, a weekly plan?
I do.
On Wednesday for snack, it would say cake.
Right.
Right? But you're not making it realistic. So you're putting the cake in because you're thinking on Sunday when you create this plan, you're thinking, probably don't need to eat that cake.
Right. And then the day comes and I might even that morning go, oh, today's the day for cake, but I forgot to put it on. And if I'd remembered, I would have put it on, but I forgot today was the cake day.
Okay.
Or like I have, this happens a lot. I have receptions for work where we're meeting with people and there's wine. And so like, oh, if I had remembered that I had this work reception, I would have put wine on. So it's okay. Cause if I'd really, so it's almost like that weekly plan isn't thorough enough.
Right. No, what you're practicing is allowing yourself to go off plan.
Yeah.
You have to put the brakes on that. That's step number one. You're never going to create a plan you're going to stick to if you continue to practice allowing yourself to go off. Oh, it's okay. If I had remembered, I would have planned. No, it's not okay. You didn't plan.
Right.
If you're ever going to plan effectively, you have to tell yourself no in that moment when you didn't plan effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to be the impetus to think, okay, I didn't get my wine today. I didn't get my cake today. What's coming up tomorrow? What do I need to do to make sure tomorrow's plan is on point?
Right.
Then you're still not changing your weight loss a lot because you're still having the wine and the cake, but you're practicing planning and following a plan. And that's one of the four basics,
mm-hmm.
right? That's something that you have to nail in order to have the weight loss results.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, I think I'm really good at the four basics. Because I'm really good at making plans and I'm really good at assessing them
mm-hmm.
and I'm really good at sleep.
Okay.
And I think I'm good at water and I think I'm good at I know I'm not good at following plans.
Why do you think you're good at water? Why don't you know?
Because I feel like that's all I do is drink water and I carry this gigantic water bottle with me everywhere. So it's like always top of mind and I always think I'm doing it. But then at the end of the month, when I calculate it out, I'm like, oh my God, I only did it 60% of the time
mm-hmm.
or the month before only 40% of the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, I really thought that's one thing I constantly am working on and thinking about because I do feel better when I have more water.
I think about water a lot too, but I'm on my first 20 ounces this morning. I got to kick it up a notch if I'm going to get my 64 in and I like to have 80.
Yeah.
So I can think about it a lot. It doesn't mean I'm drinking it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thought you need to watch for. I think I'm doing okay with my sleep. I think I'm doing okay with my water. That gives your brain an opportunity to go, yeah, we think we are. So we must be, but we might not be. Right? So watch that. Watch that. I think I am. No. That's why you have a habit tracker.
Right.
Right? So that you can check that off.
The other thing is I think about food a lot and I don't like that. I will be at a restaurant with a coworker and we'll order, hummus and pita and I always get cucumbers because I'm leveling up, right? So I'm not going to just dip the pita, but then I sit and I like obsess about, are we going to finish this hummus? Is there going to be one more cucumber left for me? And I just think about the amount of food that am I going to be able to get to eat? Or if I do put a sweet treat on my plan, I obsess about what is it going to be and when do I get to eat it? And I realize I feel like other people sitting at a lunch with a coworker, she's thinking about what we're talking about. She's not thinking about, will she get the
she's
last
not thinking about time. Hummus.
And I was at a meeting the other day and a woman had a half of cookie just sitting in front of her. And I was like, how can you leave a half of a cookie sitting in front of you for hours? It was driving me bananas because I would want to just eat it.
Okay. So what?
seriously. Work on that.
So it's just chatter. You have about 60,000 thoughts a day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she's thinking about the cookie. She's just not putting any emotion behind the thoughts about the cookie. Mm-hmm. I bet she thinks about it. What you're doing is you got a thought, OMG, a half a cookie. And your feeling is obsessed, right?
Yeah.
This is a meeting. Don't you love the model? Your feeling is obsessed, and you replay the cookie thought. Right? Replay the cookie thought. Sorry, my handwriting's terrible today. I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to use my whiteboard. And then the result is what?
Well, I wanted to go back and have another cookie.
Yeah. The result is that you increase your desire for the cookie. Oops. Increase has an E in the end. Okay. What if you did this? I'm going to teach you a new model technique that you probably already know, but maybe somebody doesn't. We're going to talk about pausing the model. Okay. Do you know about pausing the model?
No.
All right. If you have this thought and you become obsessed and you replay the thought and you increase the desire, you have completed the model. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's your friend's name that has the cookie in front of her?
Andrea.
Andrea. So let's pretend we're Andrea. Andrea has the thought, there's half a cookie left. She pauses the model right here. She hears the thought and she says, it's okay. She doesn't allow it to become an obsession. She recognizes the thought and tells herself it's not a big deal.
Okay. Right.
She stopped the model. She paused it right here after the thought. You can also do it right here. You can also pause the model. Whoops. Right here. An example of this would be you saying, oh my gosh, there's a half a cookie left. I'm obsessed with this cookie. And then going, wait a minute. I don't want to live in obsessed land about a half a cookie.
Right.
So I'm going to set this aside. And I'm not going to replay this cookie thought. We're going to think about something else. Because I'm at a meeting, for heaven's sake. I need to be thinking about work.
I want to contribute to the meeting.
Okay.
Not to my waistline.
That would be pausing your thought after obsessed. You're dismissing you're feeling obsessed for a moment. And then you're going, no, I don't want to live here.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't complete the model. This is what you need to work on, is seeing the thoughts, maybe even feeling the feelings that they create, but not giving them the weight into the action line, because the action line is what creates the result.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a result everybody wants.
Mm-mm.
Does that make sense?
Well, and that plays into all the other, the scenarios, with the cake.
Yeah.
Like, it's not on my plan.
Right.
But it's in the refrigerator and it's, waiting for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here comes obsessed again, right?
Right. It's so funny. Before we started this, I did not think I had such obsessive thoughts about food, but I know. I mean, this was your word. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it was having to tell somebody else it that made it like, oh, yeah, this is really a thing for me.
Yeah.
And it explains why I don't eat on plan, because I want the thinking to stop,
mm-hmm.
and I want to not feel restricted, because that's that whole, like, I've heard the message of I used to do Weight Watchers all the time, and I would lose 10 pounds and then I'd, quit, and then I'd gain again and I'd lose 10 pounds, and it was just a hamster wheel.
Mm-hmm. So your work is to recognize these thoughts right here. The thoughts that create obsession, ask yourself if they're true and if you really want to spend any emotional capital on them. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you have 60,000 a day. You're already making that decision in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you're not running 60,000 models a day. So you have thoughts that come in that you're already dismissing, that you're already not giving any weight to.
Right.
Okay. You just have to decide that this is one of the thoughts that it's okay to dismiss,
mm-hmm.
or to level up. Or today I'm not going to, maybe on Wednesday morning you tell yourself today, I'm planning the cake and I'm going to have a small piece and I'm not going to obsess over a second piece.
Right.
Right. Sometimes if you set your day intentionally, about what you're going to tell yourself you're going to think and what you're not going to think, that helps too.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a great use of the journal page in the, in the planner. One thing I didn't tell y'all about my planning process is every day, obviously I do a 24-hour plan, but I do this journal page. I do mine in the morning because I even had them put at the top creating today because I wanted to decide in the morning how my day was going to go. And you can do that from the standpoint of saying a thought I'm working on believing about myself today is, a powerful question I want to ask myself is, what your self-care is going to be for the day. I mean, all those questions set you up to make your day very intentional. You can do that with these thoughts as well. So for instance, a thought I'm working on believing about me today is, I won't obsess about a cookie or a piece of cake. It can be that simple. A powerful question I want to answer today is, how can I make following my plan easy?
Mm-hmm.
Today, my self-care is saying no to cake or planning a piece of cake, right? But sticking to the plan.
Right.
You know, so many great options for you if you do that, if you do that journal page first thing in the morning.
Great.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
All right.
This wasn't so scary.
No, I'm easy. All right. I will see you later.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
All right, Melissa, are you still here? Let's try you again.
Hi.
Hey, let's get your video started.
Sorry.
Oh, hey. I don't know what happened. It's you. How are you?
I don't know what happened. Good. How are you?
It could have been Zoom. It could have been Kathy clicking in a crazy way. There is no telling. But I'm glad we got you back.
Is the dryer too loud? Sorry.
I can't even hear it.
Okay, good. Nope. I work in the cellar and dryers in the cellar. But anyway, the reason why I wanted to hop on to this, that last call was really helpful, actually. About pausing the model. But so this past month in October, I noticed that on the habit tracker, I was really not eating 2 to 2 because I noticed I was gaining weight again and in maintenance basically. And I was starting to gain and I was thinking, oh my gosh, I really have to dial that in because that has always been the most challenging basic. And I was just getting sloppy with it. So anyway,
it's probably the most important basic too.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I think especially in maintenance or, you know, when you don't have that much to lose, it seems to, for me, at least to make a huge difference. And so I did really well and I did like 70%, which was like the highest I've ever been able to do in a month. That said, by the end of the month, again, when I started to lose weight, and I told myself, oh, I just want to keep doing this because I really want to honor my body and I don't want to eat for emotional reasons. I want to eat when I'm hungry and it's more stopping. I'm good at the front end. It's the stopping at a 2. That's the hard part for me. So, but then I noticed, I was having a lot of thoughts like, when this last week when I had an appointment to have a potluck type situation with friends and I was doing some volunteer work and I knew that there's going to be pizza, wine, and I decided I'm going to bring a salad because I really want to you know, I want that. I want to have the vegetables and I'll have a piece of pizza. And, but I knew there were going to be snacks. So I planned 2 to 2, but I knew in the back of my mind, if I'm being honest, I knew that that was too vague. I didn't know what the snacks were going to be, but you know, it's probably,
why was that too vague? Why do you have the thought just planning 2 to 2 is too vague?
Because I had the thought, because I really had the thought, oh, this is an opportunity to mindlessly eat. And I had the thought that I wanted to do this, that I wanted to eat mindlessly eat. And of course, that's what I ended up doing. But I wasn't honest with myself in writing that down.
If you had written down this model beforehand, you would have said, oh, I'm not sure this is what I want to do. When you have the thought, this is an opportunity to mindlessly eat.
Yeah, I should have written it down to see.
What's the feeling?
Oh, it was like, oh, excitement and
excitement,
anticipation, mm-hmm. you know, happy feeling.
Right.
And so, of course, that's what I did.
So the action is to not plan.
So that's, for me, not planning is writing 2 to 2.
Right.
Vague. Vague.
Plan vaguely.
And then.
Right?
Yeah. And then
and, because you've planned and not planned, you're not following a hunger scale, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're mindlessly eating. Okay. Which the result is, you said it.
I overate. Mm-hmm. To
overeat. Oops.
Not terribly too much, but what happens is, and this has been a pattern I've noticed, is that I waste the time beating myself up about this. Like, I only overate to maybe a 3. Really, it wasn't that big of an overeat. But
did you do a recovery worksheet?
I did.
Okay. Why did you waste time beating yourself up? So you judged, basically. You judged
on the way home.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the way home.
Yeah. And what does that lead to you to? When you beat yourself up?
Mm-hmm. Then I made the decision, I'm going to just eat some more because I messed up my streak, because I have the perfectionist thinking, right?
Right.
I already messed up my streak.
That's
so
the
then
key.
I ate more.
Right. That's like, that's the key. Because you
judge
overeat as wrong.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, let's take a look at what happened here. Oh, look, this thought is probably not one I need to let go all the way through the model again. This thought is when I need to recognize. Then maybe next time I have an event and I hear that thought, I can go, wait just a minute. I'm going to do this model real quick because I know this is the model I don't want. This is my unintentional model. So what you do on the back end is you stop the self-judgment so that you pause. That's a whole nother model, right? That self-judgment model.
I know.
That leads to more overeating. Then you come you need to model ahead of time when you see this thought. You need to do your work preemptively. So
yeah, maybe that's it, because I've done it so many times after, and I am looking at, so then it happened again. It didn't happen again. I chose to overeat again. I guess, a couple days later.
So your cycle is, when I overeat, I feel bad about myself, so I overeat some more. Right?
That is not I wouldn't say it's a cycle, because there have been times where I've been able to not, I've noticed that that is a pattern, and there are a couple times, but it's very uncomfortable, where I am able to be... Mm-hmm. to stop it and do the different thing. And it's so uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but I have been able to, but then it is more of a pattern to do that for sure. So I'm working on changing that habit.
You could use this journal page that I was talking about with the last call.
Yeah.
to set the intention for your event and to go ahead and write in the unintentional model part, the thought, this is my opportunity to eat mindlessly. I would actually too, Melissa, I would do a thought download on why that thought is exciting. Why does
when I'm able to be compassionate and not judge it and be curious, I have done it. And I feel like, what did I write? If I'm being really honest, I am resistant to giving that up. That's where the struggle is.
There's desire. A benefit. Don't overthink it. There's a benefit to eating mindlessly for you. You need to figure out what the benefit is and ask yourself if that's really the space you want. Is it relief?
Feeling of relief.
Why is it relieving to eat mindlessly? What do you need relief from? The judgment of what you eat, maybe?
I'm sorry. It's really long. Okay. The relief
from judging what you eat.
Yeah, and that instance, where it's a chain event, that is that. And then, but there's other reasons, like yesterday when I chose to overeat and eat off plan, I had a very, a difficult, challenging day, but it was all great. It was a great day. And I overcame a lot of things and did things that were hard, and I showed up, and it was like what I wanted it to be. And then I was very relieved because I thought we were going to have car issues, and we were traveling, and it turned out it was okay. And we made it home okay, and it was, you know, all that. But then, so the overeat was like in celebration of the relief or something. So it wasn't even like, I'm associating mindlessly overeating with some kind of this idea of relief. But in that case, it wasn't relief from judgment. It was just...
You just gave yourself permission to overeat because the day turned out okay.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So
that's where you go back to questioning your thoughts. Is that really a good reason to overeat? And you do this work preemptively before the meal. That's what I would do for you, because you're always doing it on the back end, trying to figure out what happened. I think for you, for the next couple of weeks, you journal before your opportunities to eat mindlessly and see what that brings up for you, and see what kind of action you can take preemptively to create the result of not overeating at your event. I think that would be really good work for you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I will try that, because another thing I have tried, which as a 50-50 chance, is during. I'm imagining doing a recovery worksheet, because I've done so many during the thing, and sometimes it can really help, and I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm not gonna, I'm not going to be happy about this later.
You know yourself so well now. You know yourself so well that you know when your opportunities to overeat are going to come up. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would definitely try it preemptively. Sound good?
Okay. I will try that. Thank you.
All right. Kathy. See ya.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Let's do this Q&A and then get out of here. What's the best way to assess the previous month's plans in order to plan the next month, hoping for the same success on the scale? Lisa, I would definitely be using the habit tracker. When you look at the habit tracker, I don't know if you've I'm going to assume that you don't know what it is, just in case there's somebody here who doesn't. In the planner, there is, let me see if I can find one real quick. The blank one. It's a page of the planner where you check off every day whether or not you, whether or not you made your 24-hour plan, followed your 24-hour plan, and assessed your 24-hour plan, drank your water, got your sleep, did your hunger scale 8-2-2, or worked out and had self-development. Okay. If you are doing this, checking off every day that you do these things, by the end of the month, you are absolutely going to know what you need to level up. So let's say you made a plan every day. All your boxes are checked. You assessed your plan or followed your plan 6 days a week. You know, all but 4 or 5 of your boxes are checked. You assessed your plan every day. So you know you're pretty good at planning and assessing, but you come down here to, there it is, hunger scale, and it's only checked off half the time. That's when you know what it is you need to work on for the next week. Okay, so I would definitely use this habit tracker. Y'all, it's only the third of the month. You can go ahead and fill in the first couple of days and get your November habit trackers rolling. If you do not have the planner, the habit tracker is on the website in the toolkit. You go to pmptribe.com, toolkit, all the worksheets, actually go to planner, okay? And there's a link from that page to all the printable worksheets from the planner and look for the habit tracker. Amy says, last week Corinne mentioned Sleep Remedy. Is there a certain brand for this? Sounds like maybe something I would like to try. Yes. It's called Dark Parsley's Sleep Remedy. And I think, still getting used to that right there. I think there is a link to it from the website. Let me check really quick. There used to be. She used to have a kit store. Now she has, it's more like a Amazon links. Let me see where it might be. Under toolkit, go to swag and products. Then things Kit Corinne loves and recommends. And that comes up with a page to Corinne's favorite things. Let's see if Sleep Remedy is on here. I know she was working on getting it on here. It's not on here yet. It will be, I'm certain, within the next week or so. In the meantime, you can just Google Doc Parsley, like the, yep, somebody just put a link. Doc Parsley, like the spice.com, and look for Sleep Remedy. I'll give you just a second to pick up that link, Amy. All right. I'm sorry to you guys who didn't get coached today. Office hours. Let's go over the calendar. I did just briefly a few minutes ago. Monday night, there is no call. There, you have a task on the calendar, basically, to watch the Handling the Holidays course video. It's good, y'all. She redid it for this year. It's super good. It's in the Private Member podcast. It is on the website under bonus courses. You can find it either place. Wednesday, Betsy will have office hours starting at 5 p.m. Central. Thursday, I'll do Tribe Q&A on Zoom. All of the calls are on Zoom now, y'all, except for Corinne's public Facebook Live on Wednesday mornings. And then next Sunday, the Queen is back with weekly planning and office hours. So that's it for today. You guys have a great rest of the day, and I will see you soon. Bye.